from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I always loved this song growing up.
Really?
Yeah. By the way,
I thought it was a bit of a bait and switch.
Okay, you don't get to talk because I heard the opening of your newscast and that sounded dirty. Missed it. Read the first story, and I want you to read it. We didn't record it, sadly, because I was going to play it back. I want you to read that first story exactly the way you did it on the air so Dana can hear it because she had to step out.
You're talking about the bird flu?
No, I'm talking about the weather.
Oh, the little weather bit at the front.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A gorgeous late summer day with lower temperatures.
Yeah.
A sun-kissed warmth.
No. And at that point, I started adding clothing because I felt dirty.
That is not how you read it in your newscast, Daniel.
A sun-kissed warmth.
So wait a minute, Sam. Because Sam and I were talking about you behind your back. I'm just being honest. Sam, will you read it the way that we heard Dan read it?
Tim's are dropping with the sun-kissed warmth.
Yes.
Okay. That's not what I did.
Do you know one of my dearest friends, Tracy, all we do is share funny memes back and forth, normally making fun of other people. And this was the one I got from Tracy yesterday in this exact wheelhouse, okay? His kiss was slow, but firm and unyielding.
Was it a Harlequin?
Like an old man backing his Lincoln Town Car over a handicapped parking sign.
That's pretty awesome.
Go outside. It feels really
it's beautiful.
Nice.
Would you feel sun-kissed, Daniel? Is that how I would feel?
Well, no, you'd feel warm.
You'd feel sun-kissed warm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm telling you, Dan.
Okay.
Both Sam and I I pushed the button to talk into Sam's studio about the same time he pushed the button to talk into this one. And we were like, do you feel dirty? Because I feel dirty.
Well, I'm sorry I missed it.
It wasn't meant to be blue.
Sun-kissed warmth.
It just feels really good out there because the temps are lower, but you still get that.
Does it feel good or does it?
Sun-kiss.
Feel good.
It feels good because we're undefeated. And by the way, I'm exhausted after that game last night. Absolutely exhausted.
Well, because it started late.
I know, but it was also very exciting. I want to read this from the Kansas City Chiefs fans Facebook page, quoting here from Bob Costas, who, as you know, has been covering sports for 9 billion years. Bob Costas says the Chiefs are America's team. And here is the quote. I think the Chiefs can be safely said are America's team. The Dallas Cowboys have had that moniker for a long time, but they haven't been to the Super Bowl since the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs have been to 4 of the last 5. They have the best QB in the game. He's exciting. He improvises. He's charismatic. Andy Reid's been around a long time. He's been to the Super Bowl with the Eagles and now the Chiefs. They've got Travis Kelce and his romance with Taylor. It was a big deal to begin with, and now it blows up bigger, he says. Plus, all the State Farm commercials. You don't have to know a screen pass from a field goal to know something is there with the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
They are, he says, America's team.
He may be right now. By the way, and I know we all watched the game last night. This new
kickoff?
No, the line formation.
Yes.
Where the tackle has to have his forward foot at least on the same line as the center's back foot.
Yeah.
Because there were three flags against Baltimore.
And Jason Kelce last night was screaming about this, despite the fact it was his brother's game. He said, stop it.
Yeah, it was out of control.
There was like four or five or even six penalties off of that.
Well, they're always trying to get the jump, and that was the big issue with Jawan Taylor, which, by the way, his attitude about it has completely changed since last season. The most called penalty against the Chiefs was Jawan Taylor stepping a half a second early. Okay. He was very apologetic the one time he got called for it last night. And I understand the rule, because otherwise you would just start the play with a circle around the quarterback and say,
but,
good luck.
I mean, he's just got really good timing I've watched the video in slow-mo, and he does not jump early.
Two things. All of these new rules give people who already dislike the Chiefs, for whatever reason, I don't understand it,
more fodder,
because they were screaming, okay, the refs only called that against them and didn't call any of it against us. Then people were screaming that Spags called some timeout, and he wasn't supposed to, and that would... Well, did you see today? It turns out that Andy Reid actually called that timeout. The refs didn't see it. So then Spags jumped in and said, hey, he's calling for a timeout. But that explodes on social.
Well, did you see the
refs are in our pocket somehow.
Did you see the white cap lit Spags up for running down and making sure that they saw that timeout?
Yes.
The white cap ran over and you thought a blood vessel was going to pop.
Do you know the guy with the white cap is the head guy and he speaks into the microphone?
No way.
Yeah.
That's why he's got a...
Who knew?
That's why they call him White Cap.
Yep.
No cap.
I'm here for all of your football knowledge this
Full
season.
Full stop.
Full stop.
How many players are on the field at any given time?
Well, there's a 53-man roster.
But how many players are actually on the field?
Well, they're not all on at the same time.
Right. I mean,
some of them are on the sidelines.
So how many?
So each team has how many players actively on
15,
the field?
15.
What?
12.
In rugby, there's
15. Both of those answers are
not
wrong.
Not 15 nor 12.
17.
Wrong direction.
That is really in the wrong direction.
Nine?
No.
Too far.
Wait, you just said.
Can I ask one question?
Anything football, and you're
Why
my
go-to. Why
would
I count them? I don't count them. I know when someone moves and they shouldn't be moving. I do have a question speaking of that.
It's 11, by the way.
Is it
Foundational
true?
Foundational knowledge.
Is it true that one of our players, they kept showing this stat, is like the worst out of the worst of the whole NFL for penalties? I'm pretty sure that we've got that guy.
Jawan Taylor.
Thank you.
Okay. That's who Sam was just
so
talking about.
What? I mean, should we talk to him about that? Or
I think they probably have.
Okay.
Which is why he was super apologetic.
They kept bringing it up last night. I thought, okay, let's stop talking
about
that.
He's the most penalized player in the NFL.
And it's because the Ravens player last night was getting penalized a bunch.
Yeah.
For being in
the
wrong
position.
For
doing what he does.
So it was using the context of
Jawan
last year.
You don't ever want to be the last of the last.
How many players does the offense have to have on the line of scrimmage?
Seven.
That's correct.
I was going to go with six.
But is that correct. An offensive line, or does that include?
I'm not going to discuss this with you, Sam, because I've got to start prepping for next week's game.
They call it the O-line.
Well, at least you have, 8-9 days to prepare?
I know, I don't like that, but there's all kinds of football over the weekend.
Well, by the way, first time ever, the NFL will be playing tonight in South America.
Oh.
Yes.
Obrigado.
Playing in Brazil.
Who is it?
It is the Eagles and the Packers.
Oh, God. What time is it
here?
It is
at 7:15.
Here?
The game starts at 7:15 Central Time.
Well, okay.
They're basically on the same
mostly south time of zone. The United States.
Yeah.
Okay.
South and east.
Daniel, remind me, when do we get...
Don't
here
do
it
that
is.
To her.
45,
do not do directions,
no, I'm not. Here it is. Because somebody was saying earlier, well, why do you guys care about the cheese? Here is from adweek.com today.
It's on Peacock, by the way. It's exclusively on Peacock.
Oh, okay. 45 minutes ago, the Kansas City Chiefs may have won the kickoff game against the Baltimore Ravens on NBC and Peacock, but the NFL also came out on top with a winner with the ratings. Here we go. Viewership for last night averaged 48.9 million.
Ooh,
the game reached a peak, guess when? 10:09 p.m. Eastern at 55.6 million near the end of the first half.
That is one out of every seven people in America
in
was watching
America,
the game.
While YouTube and YouTube TV captured 16%, other streaming platforms collectively held 34% of the viewership. Last year's kickoff game.
One out of seven for a regular
was
season
40
game.
Million, and that was the Chiefs and the Lions. So this was an 18% bump in viewership.
Did you guys see what Isaiah Likely said?
We can't repeat it on the air.
Isaiah Likely, the guy who needs to wear white cleats because he's
you're talking about on the when line. He was walking through the tunnel to go back to the locker room after the game.
In the post-game press conference,
he said, if that's all they've got, we'll see you in the postseason.
Yeah, that was our worst game of the season, so if that's all they've got, good luck in the postseason.
It was your only game of the season.
Braggadocious.
Justin Reed of the Chiefs, who is a safety, responded, of course that's the worst game of the season. It's the first game. If it's your best game, you've got problems.
Bingo. I wasn't talking about that, Sam. We were talking about the running through the tunnel.
Blank QB.
And look, I know he was upset because he needed to trim the toenails and didn't. But my God, he screamed a very offensive blank, blank, blank.
To whom was he screaming that was it a reporter?
That's usually a pejorative for women. I don't know if he was screaming at women. I don't know. It was blank UB.
Yeah, I know. You played it.
And it was an angry, rage-filled blank U blank. And I was like, oh, okay, wow. You need to work on your sound bites.
He was halfway into the tunnel and yelled up to the left side of the tunnel. It doesn't show who was over there.
My guess would be it was a female sports reporter.
Or a random...
Or a fan.
Or fan.
A woman.
But, I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was not cool. Yeah. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is the airing of the grievances. It is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today. Go online to Q39KC.com. So she will go back on trial. Story here from the New York Post. Karen Reed, the Massachusetts woman accused of mowing down her cop boyfriend with her SUV, has broken her silence. She spoke to ABC's 2020. Reed is 44. The episode of 2020 will air later tonight involving the January 2022 death of her Boston police officer boyfriend, John O'Keefe. The alleged killer, who is accused of running O'Keefe, 46, down and leaving him for dead in a blizzard, insisted she was innocent.
Or he fell, or he got attacked by a dog, or he was beat up in a bar by a buddy.
Well
nobody knows what happened to him.
She has accused law enforcement of a cover-up tied to her boyfriend's death. Reed did admit that the pair was arguing before she dropped him off at a fellow police officer's
home. Doesn't make her a murderer.
That's right.
I'm not saying she did or didn't do it. I'm just saying they don't have any evidence suggesting that she definitively did.
If she had mowed him down, as they claim, as prosecutors claim, wouldn't there have been physical evidence on the car?
Oh, I've said that from day one.
And I don't believe there was.
Everyone was stinking drunk. There was a fight in the house where he was found outside.
Which was a fellow police officer's home.
I mean, the whole case is a dumpster fire.
Was there not a camera anywhere in sight?
And no one heard any commotion or came out. Like, there's just so many things. Oh, and didn't the police or the CSI people gather up evidence in a red Solo cup? Like, gathered up blood evidence or something in a red Solo cup? So then that had to be tossed because they look like Keystone Cops during this.
Right.
Evidentiary collection process.
She goes back on trial in January.
I can't believe they're retrying her.
I actually think she might be innocent. And I think there
might
be some...
I'm not going to go that far, but there's no way they can prove she did it.
There might be some validity to this being a cover-up. Where is the evidence on the car? If she mowed him down like prosecutors claim...
It'd be all over the car. You're right. It would be all over the car.
You hit a deer, and it will destroy your car.
Yep.
You hit a human, there would at least be some sort of damage to your car.
Well, it was the winter, so if he was bundled up.
No, Sam.
Like a coat, a hat, the whole nine, and she hit him, and no blood got on the car.
Mm.
Wow. How this show has changed where now I'm the conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Getting all handsy with your lawyer is weird. That's not going to go well in the trial.
I'm not saying that that's not weird or that her behavior.
I hadn't heard that part. What's going on?
Oh, yeah.
All the
playing footsie or something.
No, they went out to dinner and they tried to claim that she stepped in front of a photo. So he grabbed her to pull her back. But he was very obviously hugging her from behind and they were laughing.
Was he aggressively pulling her back?
There was some aggression. Yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, there wasn't a photo being taken in the way. So
I don't know. I don't think they can prove it. I don't know if she did it or not. You got to have a stronger case than we're not sure how he died or when he died or why no one heard it or why there's no evidence on the car.
And why did she move on so quickly? Allegedly.
But that doesn't make you a murderer.
That's right. True. That is exactly right.
I've said this about Scott Peterson. Yeah. Was he a dirtbag of a husband?
Yes.
Absolutely. Can you prove that he killed her?
No.
They can't prove he killed her, where he killed her, how he killed her, or when. Doesn't mean he didn't do it. I'm just saying they can't prove it.
You'll get no argument from me.
I'm telling you right now, mark my words, if he gets a new trial, there is no conviction in that case. None.
Don't you think, though, that if he were, because the LA Innocence Project has picked up his case, which apparently the last time we mentioned that, people were pointing out on the text line, the LA Innocence Project is different than the Innocence Project. Okay, fine, whatever. They don't take up cases they think they're going to lose.
No, in fact, I think some of the bulk of their time is combing through the various cases to figure out which is the one that deserves the attention, right? Because we have the best shot at helping this person.
Right. And so I don't think that they would take up this case if they thought they wouldn't win.
I agree.
And by win, get him a new trial.
You don't have to like the client. But it doesn't mean you can prove he did what they're saying he did.
Is he too infamous to put him back on trial
again? Go home and just say to your daughter, Scott Peterson, and if she hasn't been on Netflix and watched that documentary recently, she will look at you with a blank stare and say, I have no idea what you're talking about.
But she's also 23 years old.
Well, yeah, but most of the jurors are going to be like, yeah, I kind of remember that. Oh. And you're not going to end up on a jury, Scott, if you watch Nancy Grace on a loop 24/7 anyway.
I think anybody over the age of 45 knows who Scott Peterson is. Anybody over the age of 45.
They were able to get on the jury the first time.
Yeah.
Which is part of the LA Innocence Project's argument.
It was horribly sensational back then. I mean, it was, whew. You know, I know, Sam, you're, and I'm not talking down, this is not disparaging. You're too young to remember. Hell, you weren't even alive.
I was not.
When this happened, I don't think. Well, yeah, you were. It was in the early 2000s.
Yeah, yeah.
There are few murder cases. O.J. Simpson, obviously, doesn't count.
Casey Anthony, maybe.
I think Peterson was bigger.
There are a handful that most people would have heard about, but all of these years later, Scott, you've got to put that evidence in front of a jury. Hmm. And if you really think about what they have?
What evidence?
They have an affair. That's it.
Yeah. There is no physical evidence.
There is no
whatsoever.
Time of death, manner of death, cause of death, or location of death.
Is it not weird, though, that the LA Innocence Project submitted an application for 172 pieces of evidence to be considered, and the judge granted them two?
Do you not just throw everything at the wall to see what sticks?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you throw a wide net.
And they've got to find that van, man. It's been 30 years. How are they going to find the van?
They had the van.
They don't have it anymore. That's what I'm saying. As little evidence as they had back then, there's even a smaller room full of that stuff today.
Yeah. 913-586-7798. Don't forget, we have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. It is brought to you by Q39. So our chief engineer, Ken Wolf, has a gift for Dana Wright.
Stop it. I have a surprise for you guys.
Ken, if you would go over to Dana's chair and hand her your gift.
Oh, I'm so excited.
You can only borrow it. You don't get to keep it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's real.
Flexing the bling, huh?
It's real.
Where did you get this from?
He's part of the Chiefs Radio Network.
Well, we're part of the Chiefs Radio Network.
No, we're not.
Sort of-ish?
No, not really.
Shut up. Can I take a picture of it?
Sure.
Oh, my gosh. Tell everybody what it is.
It's a Super Bowl ring from the last season.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
It's bigger than it looks.
We joke that the show would not happen without me. Chiefs Radio Network would literally.
That is so heavy.
That's right.
Without Ken.
No, that's fair.
Oh, it's very heavy. It's very heavy.
Okay.
Wow. Are you going to wear it out?
Here, grab a mic.
Wear it out?
Grab mic, son.
I wear it around. Like,
no, well, I know you're new to radio. You have to turn the microphone.
Oh, okay. Well, no, Sam turned it on for me. You know, he's got me covered in there.
He is the chief engineer. He knows how to turn a mic on. Unlike Dana.
No, I wear it out occasionally, but yeah.
It's heavy.
When you want to pick up a chick.
So when people see that, do they say, are you Patrick Mahomes?
No. Hey, what's that?
What is that? How'd you get that?
Yeah, why would you wear that out in public?
Just for the fun of it every once in a while.
Heck yeah.
To get your butt kicked?
No.
No.
You don't think somebody would fight you for that?
No, if you punch somebody with that, it would hurt.
I would.
Yeah. I think Patrick did it with in a wrestling match or somebody borrowed his. So yeah, it's like nah.
I love it. I'm glad you guys got those.
Did you get one for the season prior?
Yes.
So how many do you have?
Two.
What about the first one?
Well, the first one, they were with Cumulus on the first time. Then we got them.
How many people in this building had the opportunity to get one of those?
There's a few that's
just a few.
Yeah,
well, like Mitch Holtis. If you count him as Dana, in the building,
right?
Okay.
Yeah,
that is incredible. You said you were never going to put a ring on again, and you just did.
Well, I put it on just to take a picture of it.
You speak lies.
I don't speak lies.
You guys get back to your show.
Okay, goodbye. Goodbye, kid. Goodbye.
He's got work to do. Why are you guys keeping him?
I'm kidding.
Story here from CBS. A federal judge this week probed the terms of a proposed $2.8 billion settlement of antitrust lawsuits against the NCAA and major conferences and revealed a potential snag in the deal, questioning whether payments to college athletes from booster-funded organizations should be restricted.
Whoa. Dana, can you move your mic a little bit? It is humming currently.
What's humming?
Your microphone is humming.
How is it? Why is it humming?
Because you hit it, and it's vibrating. It's
good. Oh, okay.
The judge says, I'm quite concerned about these. Preliminary hearing that was the first step of a lengthy court process that could lead college athletes getting a cut of the billions of dollars in television revenue that flows to their schools.
Oh.
Wow. The deal would call for the NCAA to foot the bill for nearly $3 billion in damages paid to former and current college athletes who were denied the right to earn money off of their name, image, and likeness dating back to 2016.
Wow.
NCAA is screwed. Okay.
Well, that's a ton of athletes. You all get 32 cents.
I don't know how you would divvy that up.
No,
I
mean, you do know, because we were all victims, if you will, in a class action lawsuit involving Google and I believe one of the cable.
Ticketmaster.
Yep. And because I was victimized, they calculated my victimization at 26 cents.
Did you get the check?
Yes.
Did you cash it?
No. It costs more for them to mail the check for 26 cents than it did to, right.
I'm not going to say the company on air, but it was a company that I had invested in, and their stock had dropped a lot. And they finally sent me a letter saying, did I want to go ahead and cash out my stock? And I said, yeah, I might as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a check. About 3 months ago, for 35 cents. And I cashed it.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
On principle.
That's right.
Did you go into the bank to cash it?
I did.
It cost you $4 to cash
it. Is there anything?
Gas ain't cheap.
Is there anything?
I was paying my mortgage.
You can buy today for 35 cents.
One piece of gum at a gas station that starts with quih and ends with ip.
Hubba Bubba?
Yes.
Do they still sell those individually wrapped?
They sell individual Hubba Bubba?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, so I was going to say individual bubble gum would be one, but outside of that, I don't know that there's anything else that would be 35 cents.
You know what I bought back with that 35 cents?
What?
My pride.
And I think I'm wrong. I think it's actually 39 cents.
You took control of your life back.
Yeah.
You're no longer a victim. You're a survivor.
Because I spent a lot more money than 35 cents on that stock. That's what you call a bad investment.
Oh,
speaking of investments, how's your Bitcoin doing?
I don't know. Let me look it up. You know, I got to figure that out at some point because
sell, baby, sell.
Well, here's the problem.
Hold.
That is the only thing that still remains between me and someone who shall not be named. We both own it.
Do you?
Yes.
Sell, baby, sell.
And okay. It was originally a $600 investment.
Okay.
It is now valued at $789.17.
It's not the worst.
I know.
Growth is growth, baby.
Yeah. It's down $36 today, though.
Growth is not growth.
So that means at the beginning of the day, it was worth over $800, but it went down $36 today. See, that's the thing about Bitcoin. It'll go up $40 in a day. It'll drop 100 the next. Back up 100 the next. Back down 150. It's crazy.
That means it's volatile. I think the word you're looking for is volatile.
I mean, if I cash that out, I would have to, like, give her half, right?
I don't know. Only if you talked about it on the air in front of, like, 100,000 people.
Don't worry. We'll edit it
you're
out.
You're dangling?
Goes over the air.
I don't care.
We'll edit that part out.
Couldn't care less. YouTube is to stop recommending videos to teenagers that idolize specific fitness levels, body weights, or physical features.
Good.
After experts warn such content could be harmful if viewed repeatedly. The platform, YouTube, will still allow 13 to 17-year-olds to view the videos, but its algorithms will not push young users down related content rabbit holes afterwards. So you can watch a video,
okay,
right? But it's not going to push similar videos to you.
Okay, I'm okay with this. Initially,
you were fighting me on this during a commercial break, and I go, Sam?
When I read this, I thought that the story said that they were restricting, meaning you weren't allowed as a teenager to watch workout videos.
No,
and I thought
no.
Why?
Because I'm going to tell you right now, the rates of anorexia and bulimia, especially among our young boys, has exploded because of social media and the algorithm that if you look up, how do I become thinner? It starts shoving you people that are starving themselves in front of the camera. It's disgusting.
No, I'm on board now. I think algorithms need to be tamped down in every category.
Yeah, so if I'm 16 years old and I actively go look for a video about how to lose weight or gain weight, you know, let's say I want to play football and I want to gain some weight, or I'm going to get into wrestling at the high school level and I want to lose some weight so I qualify for a lower weight class, it'll show you a video, but it won't then, as it has in the past, push similar videos, in your direction.
Right. And again, this only applies if you are operating YouTube with an account, because that's the only way that it would know how old you are.
So what if I'm operating it without an account?
If you're just run-of-the-mill logging in, the algorithm would still push you the same videos that you already searched.
Well, I go to YouTube all the time. I've never had an account.
But it's saved as your cookies on your desktop. But your cookies don't know how old you are.
I'm old.
I would like to pass along a public service announcement that makes me very happy because he's a friend of mine.
Okay.
From the Prairie Village Police Department. Love their chief. He posts, "We celebrated Captain Taylor's 25th anniversary with the department this week. What a milestone. We are grateful for Captain Taylor's many years of service to the community." Hmm. I want to say congratulations to Captain Adam Taylor, who is a friend. I've worked with him for years. He's put up with Dana for many years. 25 years in any single police department is huge. And so congrats to Captain Taylor and all the law enforcement people that are hitting those milestones. The people we used to work with, Scott, are now hitting retirement milestones.
I'm well aware.
We're old.
I'm well aware. I think the chief in Prairie Village is running for sheriff.
Byron, yeah.
Yeah. I met him not too long ago over at the other place.
Love him.
For a charity fundraiser for, give me the young man's name.
They always do, I know what you're going to say, but they do a lot with Special Olympics over in PV as well. I know what you're going to say, but
the young man who we always.
Yes. And of course, you're going to look at me. Why would you say that? Just keep going. You know how much I love him. He wrote a book about owls.
Yes. And his dad texted me last night. What? You can say it on the air.
I believe his name is Alex.
Thank you.
Okay, thank
you. Gosh.
Yeah, his dad texted me last night from England because I told them the next time they come here, don't rent a hotel.
Yes.
Just stay at my house.
I would love to see them.
And so I was at a fundraiser for
he's
Alex.
A former police department
that's right.
member as well.
And that's where I met the chief in Prairie Village. He's a wonderfully nice man. We have Festivus.
You want to cross him, he's big. He is a tank.
Well, he could have played football. Let's
he
just say that.
He does not skip leg day.
No, I don't think he skips arm or chest day either.
Got to watch those workout videos.
Boy. I shook his hand and I said, "Hello. Very nice to meet you. I'm going to be sitting over there. And I have done nothing wrong. I promise." Right. Guilty. 913-586-7798. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news here on Dana and Parks. Yesterday, we talked with the owner of the Golden Scoop. It's a ice cream. They just opened their second ice cream store in Johnson County. Is it Overland Park? Okay, Overland Park.
I would talk, but I can't. I'm eating it.
103rd and 69 Highway by the old school.
Yeah,
world.
Super good people. Yeah. And they hire teenagers with special needs. And we just got a chance to meet with Matthew. We've talked to him on the air before. In fact, I think we talked to him on the air yesterday for a brief minute. Anyway, they came by and dropped off some ice cream, so thank you to them.
That is something.
It's all you, Scott, because I'm going to go get some.
Okay. Sam, salted caramel. Trust me. Run. Mm-hmm. Run.
Yeah, that's a good
Do
one.
Not walk.
We now have a release date for Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. This is the Hallmark movie that they are filming in Kansas City. It will air on Saturday, November 30th at 7 p.m.
Mark your calendars. I know what you're going to be doing that
on
night.
On the Hallmark Channel. Saturday, November 30th at 7 p.m. The film was shot throughout Kansas City, includes scenes of Arrowhead Stadium.
I have.
In fact, Alex Gold from Next Door is an extra.
Hello, he's actor.
Actor and radio talk show host, yes.
Okay. I have a confession to make, but first let me say I will probably, I'm not going to watch the entire movie, but I will tune in to see Alex. I want to see, does he have a speaking part? Like, is he in the background? Because he is such a good friend of ours, it will be funny to see him in the film. That being said, here's my confession. I have never one time.
No, you're lying.
Watched a Hallmark movie.
Liar.
Or anything on the Hallmark Channel. I don't even know if I have the Hallmark Channel.
You, of course you do. Everybody does.
I'm not Hallmark adverse. I love Hallmark. It's a local staple of the community. I'm just not real big into the fuzzy rom-com. I'm just not, you know.
Well,
if
do
I'm
you
not,
want me to tell you about the plot?
No, I think.
Did you have a standard cable package growing up?
Right. But the plot is usually the same. Like, girl likes boy, boy doesn't like girl, girl gets boy.
I mean, I
boy.
Can tell you the plot.
Right.
What is the plot, Sam?
Well, I did the news story about it. So there's a Chiefs super fan.
That is correct.
Not unlike Chiefsaholic, except for she's not a bank robber.
That's right. She's the heroine, and she is nominated for the team's Fan of the Year award. That is correct.
She's trying to live up to the family name of super fandom. Mm-hmm. And so she goes in and is trying to prove her case about why she's the Fan of the Year. And the guy who works for the Chiefs, who's in charge of picking the Fan of the Year, is probably really good looking. And she falls in love with him.
Of course.
That's correct.
And then they start building this weird relationship because, mm-hmm. well, quid pro quo. And then something bad happens and she loses her grandfather's lucky hat.
Oh, mm-hmm. God.
And then she
okay.
starts questioning
okay.
her love for him.
Okay. Again.
That's right.
And then a
That's
touchdown
right.
saves it all.
Okay.
That's all,
I
all
have
true.
Never, look at me, ever watched a Hallmark movie. Ever.
On the believability scale, Sam, I'm putting that at a 2.
I love film. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to watch a film, you know this, it's going to be a documentary. I love sports documentaries. Or it's going to be something where things are blowing up.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm calling you a liar not because I think that you
Fibber,
are trying
liar sounds a little extreme.
You're trying to paint an image that you have never seen one. I'm saying that there's no chance that you've never accidentally seen one because mm-hmm. I've never sought out a Hallmark movie. But I can tell you for a fact that I've been sitting on the couch flipping through the channels, and boom, there's a Hallmark movie.
I've yep. watched, like, Little House on the Prairie growing up. Like, I remember the Waltons. I mean, I remember that stuff, but I've never – look, don't think –
Are you above a Hallmark
no,
movie?
No, please don't think that that's what I'm saying. If I have 2 hours, mm-hmm. I don't like the cheesy rom-com. I don't, and that includes –
There's no com in it. It's just cheesy.
Rom. That includes modern day films. Ask my children. If I'm going to go see a movie, it's going to be Joker. It's going to be a thriller, something scary.
Well, but like Wedding Crashers is a rom-com.
Way more calm than rom. Come on.
There's
way
a lot of
more
rom.
Calm. No.
They both end up with the girl.
If you say to me that you think Bridesmaids is a rom-com, which it's not.
No, I wouldn't say that.
I think
that.
It's
That's
one of the
comedy.
It's funniest movies of all time yeah. that happens to include a romance at the end. But I'm just not, it's not in my
yeah, I forgot about that.
Genre of films that I would watch.
Okay.
I don't hate love. I don't hate joy.
You going to watch this one?
I Only when you tell me specifically where to find Alex.
November 30th, 7 p.m.
I want a specific time. Like, scroll here to see Alex Golden. That's what I'll do.
Well, he's probably just going to be in the stands.
No, I think he might be. He should have been heavily featured.
Okay.
He's an actor.
Most Americans plan to take at least one financial action once rates drop, and they will drop starting this month.
Oh.
It is not buying a house. That's not the first thing on the list. Most Americans plan to take some type of financial action once interest rates go down. But while the housing market has been a core focus when it comes to affordability and rates, buying a home is apparently nowhere near the top of people's priorities. According to data from NerdWallet released this week, 61% of Americans have plans to make a major purchase, investment, or other financial decision when the Federal Reserve finally carries out its long-awaited rate cut.
You know, this is a sensitive topic right now.
Oh, not sensitive at all.
Number one is itching to get a car.
Oh, you know what you should do is not buy a car. You should buy a house because then you have a garage to put your car in. Or two car. Could expand to three car.
Could.
You could.
Wired for an EV.
Clearly. Watch the Chiefs games outside on their patio.
We have Festivus Friday
very
coming your
way. Spacious bedrooms.
In just a moment. The airing of the grievances. This is the best time to get in. If you have a grievance, 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. It is brought to you by Q39. We'll get to the grievances in just a moment, right after the news with Dan Weinbaum on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.